Do you have any phobias? A lot of folks do, and some are really pretty common. For what it's worth, according to the Mayo Clinic, a phobia is an overwhelming and unreasonable fear of an object or situation that poses little real danger, but provokes anxiety and avoidance. Unlike the brief anxiety most people feel when they give a speech or take a test, a phobia is long-lasting, causes intense physical and psychological reactions, and can affect your ability to function normally at work or in social settings. Based on that definition, I'm going to suggest that a lot of what we think of as phobias may in fact unsettle or scare us, but aren't actually true phobias. Perhaps one of the most common phobias, and easily recognizable by name by just about anyone, is claustrophobia, the fear of small or tight spaces. A lot of people seem to suffer from this, or believe themselves to suffer from this. Bristol Bay probably isn't the place to live if you suffer from cynophobia or aerophobia. Those two are, respectively, the fear of dogs and the fear of flying. Given how we travel and all the dogs that call rural Alaska home, there are probably better places to live if you suffer from one or the other or, worse yet, both. On the other hand, if you suffer from ophidiophobia, Alaska just might be the place to be. Ophidiophobia is the fear of snakes, and given that it's the number two most common phobia in the world, perhaps it's a bit of a shock that people aren't fighting each other to get into Alaska. The number one phobia on the list of most common phobias was also the subject of a campy 1990s film of the same name, arachnophobia. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. When it comes to arachnophobia, you're certainly better off in Alaska than in many other places, but you're certainly not out of the woods. Alaska has its share of spiders. I had originally planned to put together this episode specifically as a Halloween-related episode, but a recent bout with the local version of the cold that many call the Dillingham crud prevented that from happening. As such, let's take a moment to consider spiders today. And why spiders, or why now? It's not uncommon for people to be seeing a few more spiders at this time of year, as people aren't the only creatures trying to stay a bit warmer as the temperatures begin to drop. Spiders seem to turn up inside homes with more frequency, so they are perhaps a little more on the radar for people than they are at other times. For those with a fear of spiders, that's not happy news. This isn't unique to Alaska. In my home state of Kansas, we would often find spiders inside during the late fall, including those of a family known as wolf spiders. If you've never seen one, wolf spiders look something like a miniature tarantula and can have a body size, minus the legs, of an inch and a half or so. With legs, this means they're big enough to cover the top of a can of Campbell's soup. Seeing one of those scurrying across the living room carpet can get your attention in a big hurry. Fortunately, wolf spiders do not pose a threat to humans. Well, beyond the serious heebie-jeebies for those who suffer from a fear of spiders. Brown recluses, on the other hand, can pose a threat to humans. The good news is that we don't have any brown recluses in Alaska. The reason I bring up brown recluses at all is that I have fielded a handful of phone calls from folks during my stint with the refuge asking if we do in fact have them. There are some species that can look, in a very general sense, something like a brown recluse. And yet nothing like one if you know what to look for. For example, they have that distinctive dark brown violin shape on their cephalothorax. I've had a couple of people bring dead spiders into my office to have me confirm that they weren't brown recluses. Fortunately, brown recluses are something that I do feel competent talking about because, well, I've got some history with them. My house in Kansas was overrun with them when I first moved in, and it took some effort on behalf of me and the local exterminator to beat them back to the point where it felt safe. Even then, they never completely went away from the property and were fairly easy to find in the garage. On the plus side, they're not very aggressive spiders. However, they are venomous, and their bite can have extreme effects on people, to the point of death in rare instances. I don't consider myself afraid of spiders at all, and am happy enough to have them around the house, given that they target insects for their meals. Insects that I'd just as soon have gone anyway. Brown recluses are a different matter, however. For those that wonder if they've ever seen one here, I feel very confident in saying that the answer is no. In fact, Kansas is pretty much at the upper northwest edge of their range, and that puts them a pretty fair distance from us. Some venomous spiders, primarily widows of various sorts, do occasionally turn up in other parts of Alaska. These spiders make the trip in cargo sent up from other places. They do not reproduce, and they don't last long once they get here. So where does that leave us for spiders in Alaska? Because we most assuredly do have spiders. I'm not sure what the actual number of species is. I saw one site dedicated to spiders that listed 39 species for Alaska. I saw another one that had a similar number. Mostly what I've seen is that there are general categories of spiders and subspecies within those. Some of those that I've seen online and in books I have also seen in live form around Dillingham. For example, I mentioned how startling it could be to see a big fat wolf spider scurrying across my kitchen floor in Kansas. I personally don't believe I've ever seen a wolf spider since I've been in Alaska, or if I did, it was so much smaller than what I see in Kansas that I didn't recognize it as such. However, wolf spiders are a known species to Alaska. The ones I'm familiar with didn't make webs, but rather lived in burrows in the ground. I know that they also make use of natural protections, such as rocks and ground clutter. Wolf spiders have variable gray and brown color patterns to blend in with their surroundings. They are extremely fast, something I've witnessed in my home a time or two. They have excellent eyesight and are active predators. My understanding is that wolf spiders in Alaska are much the same as they are anywhere, in and around yards and, occasionally, in homes. One of the more curious types you'll see, and they are distinct, are crab spiders. Crab spiders also do not spin webs. I say they're distinct because physically, you'll know why they got their name. The front legs are pulled back in the manner of a crab. They're not terribly big, at least the ones that I've seen, and I have seen these in my home and my workshop here in Dillingham. Crab spiders are aggressive predators using stalk and ambush techniques to secure their meals, though they're not a threat at all to humans. Yet another type of spider are those classified as orb weavers. Orb weavers vary greatly in size and coloration from subspecies to subspecies. In a general sort of way, they are much less hairy, such as a tarantula or wolf spider would be. They have long, thin legs and a much larger in relation to overall body size abdomen. They are also often brightly patterned and colored. What comes to mind for me are the really large garden spiders that often live around porches and yards in the lower 48. These are the ones that often create large, intricate webs of concentric circles. For a lot of folks, what probably comes to mind is Charlotte's web. Charlotte was an orb weaver of some sort. Their fanciful webs can be found constructed in many places and can look almost magical with a heavy morning dew on them. The hunting is much different, as they sit on or near their webs and wait for the prey to come to them. As kids, we used to catch moths and other large insects and throw them onto large webs constructed by garden spiders to be able to watch the spiders race out, subdue the insect, and wrap it in webbing. One last one I'll mention is the harvestman, or what we almost always call a daddy longlegs. Harvestmen, and there are many species of them, are not true spiders. They are arachnids. They have the 8 legs, just like spiders and scorpions. But whereas a spider has distinctly separate body parts in the cephalothorax and the abdomen, harvestmen have one fused main body. Also, spiders have spinnerets. They can make web. Even spiders that don't make actual webs, such as wolf spiders, can spin silk for egg sacs. Harvestmen lack those spinnerets. Most are a gray or brown in color and have really thin legs that can be super long or not so long, depending on the species. Harvestmen are generalist predators, meaning that they're kind of like the possums of the arachnid world. They'll feed on a lot of stuff, including soft-bodied insects, beetle larvae, slugs, snails, and decaying organic matter. And by way of myth-busting, harvestmen are not venomous at all, so no worries there no matter what old wives' tale you may have heard. Halloween is now firmly behind us. The rapidly diminishing candy bags at our house will attest to that. However, that's probably of little to no relief for those who suffer from arachnophobia. Because while spiders are certainly something of a Halloween icon, they have the ability to cast a shadow over rural Alaska all year long. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake, provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.